Welcome to The Weekly on WOBC Oberlin 91.5 FM, Oberlin College and Community Radio. I'm Jamie Yu, and with me is Owen Anderson, and we are the news directors for WOBC this academic year. We hope you are all doing well. For today's show, we have an audio journalism project from Casey Troost, Class of 2022. Casey interviewed three Oberlin alumni for our final project in Rhetoric 402 Tutoring Lab. Casey's interviews focus on the alumni's post-Oberlin lives and how their jobs as writing and speaking associates in the Writing Center benefited them after graduating.
For at least 50 years, Oberlin College's Writing and Speaking Associates program has existed to help students improve their writing. But unfortunately, like others of its kind, the program has long struggled to convince more than a small number of students to come to the Writing Center. The question of how to bring more students in comes up a lot during trainings and meetings, and the explanations associates give tend to be similar. I noticed that one response in particular would come up a lot, in one form or another: the program's false image of being remedial, rather than a more universal training ground. As a writing and speaking associate myself, I've seen students show less interest in the Writing Center than I thought they would if they knew how much its underlying program had to offer. So to bring more visibility, I talked to a few writing and speaking alums. All three of them were at different points in their post-Oberlin careers, but all three say that becoming a writing and speaking associate definitely helped them meet their goals after graduation. First, I talked to Barbara Turnbull, who graduated in 2020. And had to find a job right when the pandemic began. She now works for 617 Media Group in the Boston area, which helps labor unions and progressive groups with their communications and PR. Barbara says the program appealed because she had gotten such great feedback from the Writing Center. Once she became an associate, she didn't expect how much her trainings brought the writing and speaking process down to earth.
I was a writing associate for 3 years at Oberlin, and didn't really foray into the Speaking Center world until my senior year. And I guess I did so because I got so much like world-changing stuff out of the Writing Associates class. And I figured, okay, I bet there's the same like world within a speaking curriculum. And I've never felt comfortable with my own presentations or just oral communication in general. It's really difficult for me. It always has been. I think one of the main ways that the Speaking Center training changed my perspective on speaking was like thinking of like a more formal speaking task as like a conversation between you and your audience. It is not like the one-way kind of thing that I always thought it was, where it's like you get up in front of someone and you talk to them. It really made me shift a mindset into like, this is a conversation between me and my audience or me and my peers. And that in itself made me like more comfortable approaching that, because I'm like, okay, I can have a conversation. Like, that's no problem. I mean, I remember like people were always stunned to be like, oh, I can practice this. I think people often had that mindset that like, oh, you just have to be like innately good at this in order to like stand up and give a presentation or a speech in front of a group of people. And they were like hoping they would just like have good luck or like be okay on the day of. But I think like realizing that like, oh, there's strategies and ways that you can practice and practice and internalize like new tools, that was really like mind-blowing for people.
At that point, I asked how her training contributed to getting a job.
100% writing skills, so much. That was one way where I felt really, really confident going into my job search, even though it was like in the middle of a pandemic. I was like, at least I have these skills under my belt. I have 3 years as a writing associate. Like, I can knock these cover letters out of the park. Like, not a problem. I think I was really glad that I went through the Speaking Center training and was a speaking associate when I got to like interview stages. Like, talk about intimidating speaking task. Like, you basically are just doing like a presentation on yourself to strangers over phone calls and Zooms with like, it was really intimidating. Like, I don't know. In a pandemic, being unemployed and living at my parents' house, I was like, I need a job. This is not working. So it was like very high stakes and very stressful. So fun times. And it was made just a little bit better by having that background. In the job that I have, I was able to connect with one of my interviewers who was a writing associate equivalent at his college, which was really fun. So we were able to like talk about writing center stuff together. Okay, well, now I'm like a little off track here, but I think the writing and speaking training really, really helped in like both chunks of the job search in different ways. Just because I had experience like talking to other peers about like, I don't know, when you're in the writing center or the speaking center and you're helping someone write their resume or you're helping someone prepare for, like I would help people prepare for like grad school interviews. And like that kind of practice really benefits you when it's your turn to go and go through those processes. So I was so grateful to have those tools under my belt, given like the timing of my job search and like the absolute like hellscape of jobs at that time. So.
We then talked about her experience on the job, which Barbara admitted hasn't yet demanded many of her writing or speaking skills. When it did, though, she said she was more than ready to knock it out of the park. Before we said bye, she had one more thing to say about the program.
So, okay, this is not like skills-based, but I found in my job process, like applications and interviews, that my speaking center and writing center experience was one of the most impressive things on my applications and my resume. I think that like it's a really great thing that you can do as a college student. And I know that like as much as like Oberlin students are not wanting to like market themselves and it feels awful and like entering into the capitalist world is awful, it's a really great thing to have in your back pocket and be able to say like, I developed, I ran and like facilitated workshops for 30 of my peers every month or something like that. Like that's a really impressive thing that I think students and a lot of other institutions don't get to say about themselves. And like those skills are pretty much exactly what employers are looking for in like young people, because it's really, really hard to teach, which we see because it takes like it's a semester long training. Like it's a lot of skills and it's a lot of like on the job kind of, and I mean that in like a speaking center or writing center capacity, like a lot of like in-person experience needed to actually develop those skills. So like by the time you're a seasoned WA or SWA, like you're have a lot of tools under your belt that are going to come in handy for jobs or interviews or grad school, I guess. I don't know, not that I'm there yet, but so just such an awesome experience.
Just a year after graduation, and Barbara was already employed by a company she really liked, even despite the pandemic. After two, the program had helped alum Cam Dunbar go through graduate school, work on a campaign for a Florida State office, and get a job for a management consulting business, Accenture. Within the business, he's now a copywriter for what he calls big state clients. But for Cam, the primary strength of the program wasn't just the speaking and writing skills themselves, but the leadership responsibilities that were built in.
I think one thing I guess I want to ask you then is the role that your training as a speaking associate played in getting into grad school and then acquiring all of those other opportunities afterwards.
Yeah, I think it really helped me in a lot of ways. I think the first is I just became better at, you know, editing and going through the writing process. And, you know, I don't know, I think there's actually a lot of, like, leadership training that is, like, in the, like, WA program, even if it's not really directly presented that way, because I think the sort of indirect thing can be really valuable. You know, really just gave me the power to go and speak confidently in front of a group of people and to remind me that I, like, have the skill set to do that, because, you know, I can help others navigate that skill set. And that is really valuable, I found, especially in team settings. So consulting work is very team-oriented. And I think just being able to work with groups and, you know, being able to work with people through their writing and learn how to give constructive feedback upon, you know, working group setting, it's really crucial, because there's like a lot of a lot of personal dynamics there, and a lot of people are very attached to the things they produce. And it's just good that we have the skill set to navigate that with intention and care.
Before you decided to become an SWA, was leadership something you really wanted to work on?
It was certainly something I wanted to work on. I don't know if I'd say it was difficult. I just think it was something I wanted to do and wanted to, acquire the skill set for. And the WA program really aided in that. Being in front of a classroom, like taking on the role. You know, I think people have varying opinions, students, on, you know, what WAs do. But I think there are lots of students who see, you know, of course, WAs and WAs as like paraprofessionals in what we do, and like give us, you know, even more authority than we may have earned in our dialogues with them. And I think that is one of those situations where you're kind of forced to be a leader, step up to the plate, because, like, you know, a lot of times students are depending on you for assistance.
Cam and I then got caught up talking about how working in the program sometimes involved emotional labor, especially when a student was dealing with problems we weren't as prepared to help with. Sometimes students have a really close deadline or have had a really rough week in general. I told Cam I thought we should set more boundaries and refer students to other support services faster, but he disagreed. Cam had actually seen a lot of these students during his time here and had experienced firsthand the professional value of these situations.
Maybe you could Google, I don't know if it's still there. I wrote a piece on cura personalis, which is the Latin translation for care for the whole person. It's kind of like, and sort of the whole tenet about that is like when you're like educating someone or when you're working with them in that way, is that ultimately like you have a responsibility for the whole person. I don't think everyone actually agrees with that. But I think it's something interesting that I observed in the Writing Center, because I think you're right. Oftentimes you are motivated or sort of forced sometimes to manage other parts of a student's well-being besides the product that they're, you know, bringing to share with you. And there are so many more dynamic. Like, I remember when I was in the Writing Center, like, people, I worked the graveyard shift until midnight. But, I mean, I would have people come in at 11:55, like, you gotta help me with this fucking paper, like, it's awful. And I was just like, well, if it's awful, like, it's due pretty soon, like, I can proofread it for you, but, like, that was always really interesting. I was actually usually able to help the late night people. They're very fun, very chaotic energy. Like, anybody walking to the Writing Center past 11:15, it was always, like, a chaotic situation, but I got a kick out of it.
Lastly, I asked how his training translated into his everyday job. His response was way deeper than I expected.
I don't even know how to talk about it. I know this is an audio podcast, so you can't see video, but I actually just got a tattoo of a pencil. I don't know. I like being a writer. I like writing, but definitely when I was thinking about my motivation for that particular object, I had thought about the Writing Center and just really giving me the capability to, at the end of the day, like, it just helped me be my best self, because I was able to share what I thought the best self parts of me were most efficiently through language and through writing and through storytelling. And that, you know, both the communication piece, but also, you know, editing and going through the process of, like, what are the highest order concerns in my story? Like, what are the lowest order concerns in my story? And using that to help build a narrative for yourself that's one that you can be proud of and competent to tell.
Before we parted, Cam had one more thing to say about the program.
Yeah, I love the WA program. Shout out to Lori McMillan. That's the homie for real. Like, Lori McMillan changed my life. If you ever catch up with her, just know that one day I just started bawling out in her office. And yeah, it was just like a rough semester. I had a surgery, and she had just been so accommodating to me that, like, I just couldn't express my gratitude in, like, any other way than tears. And so, like, I don't know, I think Lori has really done a lot for Oberlin and for the WA. I don't even know who's in charge of it anymore, but, like, if it is Lori, like, shout out to Lori.
After talking with Cam, I started to feel confident that the speaking and writing associate program was setting me up for my career. I found Barbara's job successes in the middle of the pandemic and Cam's several jobs equally impressive, but I didn't really expect the benefits to go beyond there. Then, Allie Fulton proved me wrong. A 2016 graduate, Allie is now pursuing a PhD in English at UC Davis, where she presents her research at conferences and sits on advisory boards that improve the student experience. Allie said her speaking and writing engagements draw on both leadership and rhetorical skills she learned in the program, but her most valuable takeaway was recognizing that she wasn't alone in the writing process.
Yeah, I decided to become a writing associate because I had a writing associate in one of my English classes, and that person was extremely helpful to me as a student. And so those experiences combined are what ultimately led me to apply to become part of the class.
And then what things did you learn during training that surprised you that you weren't expecting?
I think as someone who is very comfortable with writing and with organization and revising and kind of delivering the final product, if you will, that was a lot more challenging for me to figure out in the speaking setting. Like that kind of final deliverable, something that I'm still working on. And so I'm always working on how to, you know, talk about my research to both academic and non-academic audiences. And so I think that was something that when I first started in the speaking writing program that I was kind of surprised by, like making maybe the switch between different audiences, even if I wanted to ultimately communicate the same thing, making that switch felt bigger.
Can you give an example maybe of that sort of difference you encountered?
Well, this has kind of been all mixed up because of COVID, but prior to COVID, attending like an academic conference, I guess that's a good kind of connection to what I'm currently doing as a graduate student. At academic conferences, you're kind of both tasked with presenting a paper, which is you often always speak to your small audience who are a group of like-minded academic peers. But then academic conferences are also a huge place for networking. So kind of managing, like within one setting, managing that switch between I need to both present a formal paper that is articulating, you know, one idea that I'm kind of working on in the broader context of my work, but then also even immediately after one of those talks, either my own or listening to someone else, being able to go up to them and talk maybe a little bit more broadly about how our research is connected and why I think we maybe should connect in the future in X, Y, or Z ways. And so just being able to more kind of deftly manage those transitions has been, my speaking training has been hugely helpful in that setting. I think the other thing that's coming to mind is just, you know, on different advising boards that I'm a part of, I think my speaking center training has allowed me to run meetings really efficiently in terms of both, you know, managing the voices of everyone who are in those meetings and also keeping broader goals for both that individual meeting in mind and then kind of where that meeting is situated within kind of the broader goals of the organization that I'm working in at that moment. And kind of being able to hold all of that while also speaking to a group authoritatively. And that is, for me, a hugely transferable skill. Whether I stay in academia or not, being able to kind of manage and collaborate in a group and have the speaking skills to be able to do that is already hugely helpful, and I think will only prove to be more helpful as I continue. Yeah, and I've actually continued, I work as a, they call them graduate writing fellows at Davis. So I'm like the Oberlin Writing Center equivalent of a writing associate just at Davis. So I work with graduate students on everything from, you know, dissertation work and journal articles to fellowship applications and things like that. So that was a really nice transition. Yeah, a lot of the skills that I learned kind of in the writing speaking program in general are what got me that job.
in that application phase, when you're applying to UC Davis, or you've graduated from Oberlin, and now you're like, okay, now what do I do? What role did those communication skills and maybe even writing skills, what role did that play in the application process?
My speaking skills didn't quite as much figure into the application process for graduate school, but the writing skills definitely did. I mean, writing your personal statement and your statement of purpose, which are kind of the two main hefty documents that you need, and then your writing sample. I've already talked about genre a bunch, but just being aware of, like, this is a very particular genre, a statement of purpose. They want to get a sense of, you know, what you want to research and how what you've done in your undergraduate degree or your master's degree, if you have a master's, is sort of moving you in the trajectory to head into a PhD program. You know, they ask specific questions of you as a writer. And so having just the comfortability, knowing that this was a very particular genre and knowing that, you know, it'll be helpful to ask people who have gone through this process before. I think that's something that I haven't touched on. Just being in the writing program really showed me that I'm never writing alone, and other people are always helping me write, whether that's helping me talk through my ideas, whether that's helping me in the revision process. But I, you know, that's a huge part of writing for me, is that it's a collaborative and communicative and reiterative activity. And all of those points were hugely important for me getting into a grad program.
While it might look like a remedial service, or while it may seem purely academic, the Writing and Speaking Associates program has actually helped students to practice tangible job skills that directly qualified them for opportunities after college. For now, these benefits have unfortunately been limited to students who regularly use the Writing Center or join the program. But hopefully, with more media coverage like this, and maybe a few more success stories, students will feel more comfortable working with a writing or speaking associate. That's all we can hope, in any case.
You're listening to WOBC Oberlin, 91.5 FM, Oberlin College, and Community Radio. This has been The Weekly. All previously aired episodes of The Weekly are publicly available online. You can listen to them at anchor.fm/The Weekly.